In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is in our
When God created Adam and Eve, it was said that they were in paradise, or in the paradise of delights, the Garden of Eden. Can you think of a time in your life when you didn't have a little bit of stress? When you weren't worried about anything? When you didn't have to think about survival, paying the bills, whatever it is? And we have no concept of what it is to live in paradise. But in paradise, apparently, it was entirely worry-free. I think the only thing that approximates paradise is little children, their experience of reality, which is entirely provided for them, and there's the ability if they can rest in their parents. So we know the story that they fell and they were exiled from the Garden of Eden, and then they had to survive. And so we know about this reality, a stressful reality. And as part of the coping mechanisms that Adam and Eve and every generation picked up after this fall, as coping mechanisms, you have to think about what it is that we're dealing with in the world and then develop strategies to avoid whatever it is. But I don't know if you know it, but the world is trying to kill you. The elements of the world are trying to kill you. St. Simeon the New Theologian poetically writes about how the sun wants to burn us to death, and the wind wants to blow us off the face of the earth, and the animals want to eat us. And so there's a lot of stress. There's a need to survive. There's a need to, in a sense, worry. And so as a general strategy and a coping mechanism, Adam and Eve began to harden their hearts. Because when you are put into more stressful situations, one of our tendencies is to put up our guard and to harden ourselves, to get ready for war. In the Garden of Eve, we hear about vulnerability and nakedness and lack of shame and worry-free. Outside of it, we see skins and clothes and toughness and the reality that everything is trying to kill us and that we need to be on guard. One of the strategies that humans develop is to notice what is threatening, to pay attention to the predators and those things around them that may threaten them in any sort of way. And if you are around human beings, you will notice that you will also notice with your fellow human beings that there are things that you have to be aware of, take note of, so that they don't either hurt you physically or maybe possibly wound you or disappoint you. Because we've not only hardened our hearts or hardened our sensibilities, but we've hardened our hearts because it's not only that we might be killed, but people may betray us. They may disappoint us. They may emotionally abuse us in some sort of way. And so we take note of these things. And then we take those notes and we put them in little file cabinets. Each one of you has a file cabinet where you file these notes away about each person that you encounter in your life who disappoints you, who appears to be too angry, perhaps they're uncouth, you don't like the way they talk or the way they behave. But we all have little filing cabinets that we keep. And each of those files is, in one sense, a resentment, a judgment, a condemnation, a sense that I'm better than someone else too because it's my file cabinet and I'm worried about them offending me. And those file cabinets and those images are images. This is painting a picture of what it means to be resentful. Because part of the coping strategy of fallen mankind is to build up insulation and defense And ultimately, this leads to resentfulness, lack of forgiveness, and a general wariness of other people in the world. And that is, for some, what it takes simply to survive. Now, Jesus tells us as Christians, our goal isn't mere survival. We're not encouraged to just be animals, to kill when something tries to kill us, or to defend or insulate ourselves. Jesus Christ calls us back to the vulnerability that Adam and Eve had. He calls us back to a sort of nakedness, where we don't have to put on defense mechanisms in order to defend ourselves from people. And the best way he shows us this is that he does it himself. And this is part of the meaning of the crucifixion, when our Lord is not defending himself, when he receives, even though he's always in the right, when he turns the other cheek when they slap him, when he allows himself to be crucified and to be naked on that cross before the people. He is an image of what it means of what it means to be Christian, which is to lay aside those defense mechanisms and to be vulnerable and be willing to be wounded, but to bear it with the strength of Christ. I was reading for class the other day, and the book is about a certain therapeutic approach. The suggested methodology for a client who might be unable to forgive was that when they were in your office, you might have them, and you can imagine this, write on a piece of paper what it is that they can't forgive about the person, about society, whoever, typically another individual. Take and write it down on that piece of paper. Then for a moment, let's take that piece of paper and let's put it on that person. We'll say maybe it's a husband and wife. I need you to take your finger with that piece of paper and hold it on that person. Hold it on them. Let's continue to talk. Doesn't it seem a little cumbersome that you're holding that paper on the person? Wait, tomorrow when you go to work, don't forget you need to hold that piece of paper on the person. While you're driving, hold it there. It needs to be held at all times. You can't take it and put it in your pocket. It's something that you hold on them. It sounds quite burdensome, doesn't it? To take the files out of the file cabinets and hold them on to people. Then the counselor suggests, maybe, why don't you just let it go? Let the paper go. Let gravity take it to the floor. And they take their hand off, and it falls. It's much less burdensome. They don't have to carry this around with them anymore. It doesn't affect every aspect of their life. When you think about resentments, judgments, and these sort of things that we develop, they are not something that we let go of. They are something we carry around with us everywhere, that we put upon everyone. They influence our heart in the sense that they make our heart hard. They make our heart unable to receive the grace of God. And if we have, by God's grace, the ability to let them go, we can become again open to the grace of God. Because ultimately, one way of thinking of resentment is that it helps the person that we resent when we don't resent them, when we forgive them. But most of us are fairly selfish, so let it be known that it helps you when you are forgiving. It allows you not to carry the burden. It allows you to remove the person from your head who is taking up so much rent. And when that paper drops to the floor, what we're looking at is not just mere gravity, but in the Christian faith, we're asking that paper to drop into the hands of God. Our resentments and our anger and our frustration and our lack of forgiveness and our remembrance of wrongs of other people is us trying to hold people to account when the only person who can hold anyone to account is the just judge who sees the full perspective. So we drop those resentments into God's hands so that he can deal with the people, but mostly so that we can free up our souls and so that we can experience that vulnerability, the sensitivity, the openness to take in the grace of God. Today is the dedicated to the exile of Adam and Eve from the garden. There's no way for us to avoid in our nature the coping techniques that humans have had to build. But Christ challenges us today in the gospel and by the very way he lived his life to forgive others as our Heavenly Father forgives us, to let go of our resentments, to empty the file cabinets of resentments and remembrances of wrongs we have towards other people, so that our hearts can become open and we don't have to carry the burden. We're not asked to merely survive, we're asked to have life in Christ. And it is only by laying aside all those things, those survival techniques, that we can ultimately find ourselves living in the grace of Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.